Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
I have just one short verse of scripture before I let you be seated. John chapter 20 and verse 28. Jesus is with his disciples. He has been resurrected and appeared to them. The first time he appeared, Thomas was not there, but now, after making some declarations about what it would take for him to believe, I need to see the nail prints, I need to see the scar on his side and physically touch those things if I'm going to believe he's actually back. And so Jesus shows up and says, well, here I am, to touch these scars, put your hand in my side and you'll see it's me. And so Thomas then makes this declaration. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. So today I want to just teach for a few moments on this today. I call him Lord. I call him Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today. You're so precious to us. And oh, we're so thankful for who you are in our life. Thank you for all you've shown us, Lord. You've proved yourself over and over. Bless the teaching of your word today. Let our hearts be good ground to receive it, to understand it, to be made better by it. Lord, we just thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated. Thankful for the Lord this morning. You can be seated. God bless you this morning. Thank you for being here. I call him Lord. If you, of course, search through the scriptures, you're going to find many, many names for the Lord, many titles, many offices, these things that describe who he is. There's a song, we were just actually talking about it, that my wife and them have sang before, and I heard them talking about it. She said, we've got to do that song again. I call him Lord. And I said, guess what? Today, I'll teach about it, and next week, y'all can sing it. How about that? But it's a beautiful song if you've never heard it. Looking through the scriptures from the very beginning, you'll find different titles and things describing the Lord. And you were to just do a search, and this is just a partial list of things, but you would find these titles that are ascribed to the Lord, that he is our advocate. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the bread of life, the chief shepherd, a cornerstone, counselor, creator. He is the door, the first and the last, the Holy One. He is the I Am. He is Emmanuel, which is God with us. Jehovah, King of Kings, he is the light. The light of the life, and he is the light of the world. He is Messiah, Prince of Peace, resurrection and life, the Rose of Sharon. He is the truth. He is wonderful. Revelation says he is the Word of God. We know him as healer of our diseases. We know that he's our comforter. There's many things that we could, he's our friend. That sticketh closer than a brother. We could just go on and on describing all these different names in the Old Testament names, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, those things. We could go on and on and on. And every one of these names are important because they will help you to understand who he is in fullness. It gives you the picture of what he does and how he is. And understanding that what he said about himself, I am the Lord, I change not. He will always be these things while we need him for that. All of these things are important. It describes who he is, what he does. This is attributes that he has. And so you can know him. You can know him as a savior. You can know him as a healer of all diseases. Some of you in here experienced healing before, and you're very quick to say, hey, he's my healer because you've experienced that in your life. Or he's a miracle worker because God worked a miracle. Or maybe he provided a need. You knew without a doubt it was God. And so he's my provider. And so we have a lot of things that we would say very quickly about who he is to us. He's the one that gave me hope when I had no hope. He brought peace in my life that just passed understanding. And he restored me. He refreshed me. He resurrected my life. I was all but gone. And so many things that when people would ask us, and as we're testifying or talking about, we would say these things because we'd like to tell people that's tied into our testimony about who he is, what he's done in my life. And we want to share those things because they're great. But ultimately, we must come to the place where we do more than simply acknowledge what he does or what he has done for us. We have to eventually come to the place where we must recognize and acknowledge his lordship. Because we know what he does for us, but we've got to fix it in our mind who he is to us. You know, what he does and who he is. That's two different things. They are connected, but they're different. It's like the positive and negative on a battery. Sometimes you got to have both of them. And so we need what he does in our life, but we've got to know who he is. And we've got to acknowledge that he is the Lord. You know, the scripture says, we want those good things of God because the Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God is healing and delivering and giving hope and bringing peace. And all, he does all these things. He doesn't just do that for saved people. He does that for everybody. He has mercy on everyone. He loves everyone. He does these good things to lead people to a place. The scripture says that he would lead us to repentance by the good things that he does. In other words, when we see how good God is, when we're unworthy, it brings us to change our life to follow him. And he's doing it so not just so we can be better and keep going in the direction we're going. Repentance is a change in direction, a change of life. And he said, I want you to turn from the way you're going and follow me. I want you to come to the direction I'm going. That's why the scripture would say it is not the Lord's will that any perish. He doesn't want us to perish in the direction that we're going, but that we would come to repentance. And so, but to come to repentance, we must acknowledge the good things. So we do initially see many times it is these things, this love, this mercy, this grace that we experience that brings us to a place where we can finally kneel before him and say, as Thomas did, my Lord and my God. The word Lord there in the Greek is kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S, kurios. And it means supreme in authority, the one with control. And that's why Jesus would say, all power in heaven and earth is given to me, because he is supreme in authority, and he is the one with control. Now, he's that whether I acknowledge him or not. But, what I've got to do is settle a question in my mind, but let me share this with you first. In Acts 10 and 36, here's what Peter would say concerning the Lord. He said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And then he makes this statement, he is Lord of all. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, but he is Lord of all. You know, that's... So the question for us, for me, for you, for anyone, anybody who says they believe in him is this: is he Lord of all? Is he simply my healer? Is he simply the one that provides blessing and miracle and mercy every day? Or is he my Lord? Have I submitted myself to him as the supreme authority in my life? Have I given control to him with my life? And, you know, the Bible says now that we are dead to sin, but we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so have we let him be the supreme authority in our life? Have we said, or have we come wanting the blessings, wanting the good things? We want the mercy and the grace and the love and the peace. Lord, I need a healing. I need a miracle. I need a financial blessing. I need, things worked out in my life. I need all the good things. Every good and perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father. And it says he pours them out. He's not a respecter of persons. He pours those good things out. But have I looked at him simply and said, my Lord and my God? When Thomas saw the resurrected Savior, when he saw the wounds in his hand, when he saw the wound in his side and realized the sacrifice that this Lamb of God had made for him, he didn't say, hey, man, if you can come back from the dead, you can fix my house. You can take care of my relationship. You can heal my friends. He looked at him and he said, my Lord and my God. Whenever I begin to think about things maybe I am lacking, I always remember this. Ultimately, he gave his life and he rose from the dead. That's enough for me to say, my Lord and my God. That's enough for me to submit to him as the supreme authority. He has control of my life, what I do, where I go, what I say. Until I get in my flesh and do otherwise, but I submit it unto him. I want him to be more than just a healer, because I've watched people be healed and walk away from God. Hey, I've watched people come to the altar and cry and pray and be filled with the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name and turn around and walk away from God. So those things are important and we've got to have them. But until we let him have the control of our life, people, it's like that in the world. We get tired of things. And if we're simply living for stuff, even the stuff that he gives, if we're only living for the stuff, that's what we'll always want. But when I realize that there is nothing more important than him, that he is the Lord of my life. He is my Lord and he is my God. Oh, he's my healer. I'm going to go to him. He's the great physician. But let me tell you, if he doesn't heal me, he's still Lord and he's still God. He's still the supreme authority. He is still what I've got to have. So the question again for us today is, Peter said he's Lord of all. And my question is he? Is he Lord of all? Because I'm not talking to people that don't know him. I'm talking to those that know him. Peter said that it is time for judgment to first begin at the house of God. It's going to start with us. All of us, these that have experienced, tasted, and seen that the Lord is good, what do we say about him? Is it about the promised land? You know, the Lord warned Israel and said, you're going into a place that's going to be so full of blessing that you've got to be careful that once you get there and start living life and enjoying it, that you don't forget the Lord who brought you out. That you don't forget that I delivered you and brought you through and kept you from your enemies. I took care of you, fed you. I did all these things so I could bring you to a place. But I didn't do it so you could forget who I was. And I didn't do it so you could ring the dinner bell and say, Lord, drop some quail and manna on my front door. I did it so you could be my people and you could be holy as I'm holy and you could be a light in this world. You're going to show the nations who I am. We call him many things and we must call him Lord. Usually we call him when we have a need. You know, it's like we don't have to, it's almost like we're thumbing through the yellow pages and say, I need a healing. There it is. I need counseling. I need a friend. But it's all him. It's all him. And if I would just learn to call him Lord and let him be the supreme authority in my life, if I would let him be the one who is in control, I don't want anybody controlling me. I want the Lord controlling me. Yeah, that's why I used to, you don't see it much anymore, but it was big way back years ago that everybody had these little license plates, little stuck on the front of the car. God is my co-pilot. Well, he's not my co-pilot. He's my pilot. I'm the passenger. You fly this thing. You know that song that came out years ago, Jesus, take the wheel. I don't want to be driving. You take control of this situation. You take control of my life. You take control of what's going on. But too many people still have that mindset that, well, he's my co-pilot. When it says we are workers together with him, we think that, that somehow we've got more control than he does, but he's the one with the control. Or he should be. He should be the supreme authority and the one who controls our life. In Psalm 37, in verse 23, the scripture says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, if he's not my Lord, then I'm walking on thin ice. If he's not my Lord, I'm on dangerous ground, because the Lord orders steps. He sets the pathway. Now, don't get it wrong. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We think, God only does things for good people. Well, the scripture teaches me that at my best state, I'm just vanity. Paul would say, for I know that nothing good, that is to say, dwells in my flesh. There's nothing in my flesh any good. On my best day, I couldn't be good enough to walk in his steps. We are good because of the steps we take in him. It's only God is good. There's none good but God. Jesus told us that. And the only way I can be good is to be like him. There is no good in me. So he's not ordering steps for certain people, privileged people. Oh, they're good, they're bad, they're good, they're bad, they're wicked, they're either, but they're excellent. So yeah, all right, all you excellent, good people over here, I'll tell you which way to go, you wicked, you on your own. No, he's saying that if you'll walk in the ways that I lay before you, it will lead you in the good path. That's why the Bible says to seek the old path, seek those old ways, that's the good way. Seek the old paths. Don't seek the old landmarks. Go, you get in a walk in those ways. That's the good way. And said, but people said, but we will not. They want deliverance. They want victory over enemies, but they don't want the lordship. But we have to have the lordship. If he's not my Lord, I have no idea where to go. I don't know how to walk on my own. We are not good on my own. I've got to have him. There's nothing good in me. I know the way to go. No, I don't. I've got to follow. I talked a few weeks ago about following him. And this is what I'm talking about. He's ordering the steps. We're following him. Now, at this time of year, I'm sure if you haven't already, you'll be reading the story of his birth in the book of Luke. That's to me the most definitive story of it. Just talks about so much detail in it, and man, you can preach so much out of that book of Luke chapter 2. So much is happening, but Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And there's no doubt that we need him to be our Savior. But he didn't just say there's a Savior. Stop right there. Because that would just, I got somebody to meet your need. Somebody that can take care of your need, your immediate need. Just that one thing, that need for salvation is here. But he said, I'm going to tell you who he is. It's Christ the Lord. If there is no Lord, there is no Savior. There is no salvation without him. We've got to have him. So he said, is Christ the Lord, the supreme authority, the one who controls our life and has the control over our life? 2 Peter 3:18, Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He is our Savior. No doubt. That there's, the scripture says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know that's the name of Jesus, but he's the Lord. If there's no Lord, that name has no power. If he's not the Lord, there's nothing backing up that name. If he's not the if he's not Lord, then the Savior is not backing that name. There's people that have the same name as him, but they're not the Christ. They're not God Almighty. They're not the Savior, but they have that same name. And you see that even in the world today, people are named, have that same name in other cultures, that name. But they're not the Savior. They're not the Lord. And it's who he is. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the supreme in authority. And said, so Peter said, you need to grow in grace and knowledge of him. You need to learn about him. You need to know about him. You need to give him. If I'm going to gain knowledge from somebody, I've got to let them teach me. And if you won't submit to a teacher, you won't learn. And so I've got to let him teach me, lead me, make something out of me if I'm going to learn about who he is in my life. They had to walk with him to learn about him. They had to follow him. They had to go places where they didn't understand. They had to see things they didn't understand. They had to hear things they didn't understand so they could learn about him and grow in grace and knowledge. It was the same way with the children of Israel, that when he brought them out, he led them through places and proved, he said it in his word, I proved myself to them. I showed them my ways. They saw my acts, but they didn't get it. They didn't understand. And he would question many times, how long, how many times will I have to come through before you understand who I am, before you understand that I am your God, because you're crying out for your need. Oh, we're starving to death. We're thirsting to death. We've got enemies we can't overcome. And you're always crying about what you need, 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 and forgetting that you have a God. And if you would just as a people submit to me and let me be your Lord, let me be the Lord who I am. Let me be more than just the manna giver. And let me be more than just the water springing out of the rock. Let me be your Lord. Everything else will fall into place. So is he Lord of all? I want him to be. I want to be able to look at him and not just say, hey, it's my healer. But I want to be able to say, hey, it's my Lord and my God. I want to be able to say, he's more than just my Savior. He's my Lord and my God, because he has saved me in every possible way he can. And I don't read anywhere in the book of Revelation where they're falling down and just saying, Savior, Savior, Savior. But they're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Lord. Because once we're there, I don't need a Savior anymore. When I get there, I don't need healing anymore. I won't need peace. Everything will be there, because that's everything that he is will be there. And things will be fulfilled. When you read the scripture, three times in the Gospels, only three times is he called Savior. And that's by Mary, the announcement from the angels. And then in John chapter 4, after the woman at the well has went back and told the people, they come back and they acknowledge him as the Christ, the Savior of the world. In the New Testament total, he's mentioned this Savior 23 times in the New Testament. That's a lot. But he's called Lord over 400 times. Seems like there's a point trying to be made here. Because he has been many things to us, and he has provided many things for us. But what he is to us and what he is in our life, that he's the Lord of my life, that's the most important thing of all. Because me going through the steps of Acts 2:38, if he's not the Lord, it don't mean anything. If I obey that scripture, if I come and I repent and I'm baptized, and then even filled the Holy Ghost, but then I don't submit to his lordship. It's not going to help me. I've experienced this. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, but the Lord says that it would have been better to never known than to know it and turn away from it and just wipe your, it's like you're wiping your feet on what he did for you, just to walk away from it, but to be, let him be Lord of your life. Brother T.F. Tenney said this one time, that the secret to living in victory is to know, acknowledge, and live in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is the secret of success in living for God. It's not the miraculous. It's the submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, acknowledging that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I've got to have him. But more than admitting, because a lot of people admit, I believe in him. They admit what he's done. They admit that they have studied about him, read about him. They admit him, but they don't submit to him. And so more than admission, I must be in submission to the Lord and to his way. Because everybody wants to claim him as Savior. Because nobody wants to be unsaved. Nobody wants to hear that at judgment. Depart from me, I never knew you. Everybody wants to have the benefits. They want to get the gifts. They want to all these good things, but we must know him as Lord. He must be Lord of all. He must be Lord of all. My family, Lord in my activities, the Lord over the paths that I choose and take. He must be my Lord publicly and privately. In my private life, he must be the Lord. He has to still be the Lord on vacation. He has to be the Lord when you're not here. He can't just be the Lord when you're at church. He's got to be your Lord wherever you go. Joshua would say this. We know it. We quote it many times. But I think we really don't catch the power of it. But as for me, I tell you, if sometimes we would just make that kind of stand and not be worrying about what everybody else is doing, but say, but as for me, I'm going to make a choice here. I've got friends that don't agree with it. I've got family that don't agree with it. The world don't agree with it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to make a decision that he will be the supreme authority. He will have the control in my life. I love everyone who disagrees with it. I do. I love them. I've got family that think I'm nuts. That's all right. I love them. I've got friends that think I'm crazy. That's all right. Even though we tell them, they still think we handle snakes. We don't. They think that speaking in tongues and things like that is from the devil. They think that all kind of different things, whatever. But as for me, I'm not going. That's why the scripture says there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. And then he gives the list of the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, so we're not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. We're preaching that he is the one who does all the miraculous, but more than that, he's the Lord. He's the eternal one. He is the first and the last, the Almighty. That's who he is. He is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. Believe what? Believe that he's the Lord. And so you've heard this saying, he's either Lord of all or not at all. He's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Because you can't have it your way and his way. But when your way becomes his way, there you go. As I want to go his way. I know there was one man that the Lord healed in the scripture, and he said, now go your way. And it said, and he followed the Lord. Because he said, now my way is your way. Yeah, you healed me, but I realize that you're the Lord. Even Peter, when the Lord said, will you go away? And he said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We're sure that you are the Christ, that you're the Son of the living God. We know who you are. And where would we go? To whom would we go? There's no other place to go. You are Lord. You're more than just my friend. You're more than just my pal. He is not the old man upstairs. You know, the world gets very close to some disrespect with the way they talk about him, and it bugs me. But I don't make a big deal. I don't fuss and fight about it because I know what he is to me. And if he's ever done great things for you, you don't make light of him. You don't make fun of him. I see people, they don't know what the Lord looked like on this earth. You see all these pictures and paintings and, oh, this is Jesus. We don't know what he looked like. And I don't have to know what he looked like. Because I know he saved me. I know that he loves me. He put his spirit inside of me. I don't have to know what he looked like. I don't have to know what his beard looked like, how long it was. I don't have to know what color his eyes were. I don't have to know all that stuff. One day I'll see him. One day I'm going to see him. And that's going to be good. But you know, I see people, they make paintings and pictures of him and stuff like that. And doing things, you know, doing worldly stuff. He ain't riding a skateboard. He ain't riding a motorcycle. He ain't playing an electric guitar. He ain't sitting around a table playing cards with people. You know, he's the Lord. He's holy. And so you don't try to paint an image of him that you don't even know what it looks like of him doing things that he wouldn't be doing. Oh, it's just all in fun. Well, you know, put Snoopy on a skateboard. That's funny. Put, you know, do something like that, but stop bringing him down to our level. He's the Lord. I know he made himself of no reputation. And while he was here, he mingled with sinners and he showed us the love that you have toward people. But now he has ascended, and now we do what he did. He's the King of Kings sitting on the throne of glory. He's the Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy. And so I'm not going to bring him down my level to worldliness because I call him Lord. And there's plenty of other things to laugh about or joke about than him. Well, that's just too serious. Well, it is serious. And hey, you know, he's either Lord of all or not at all. And so I have found that everything else falls into place when he's the Lord of my life. Not just a Lord, but when he's the Lord of my life. He's not just the Lord somewhere far off that created heaven and earth, but he's my Lord. I call him Lord because he's my Lord. You know, it's like in this world, you know, we have, it went on both sides of the aisle. When a certain person was in office for the president of the United States, it would be, that's not my president, but he is the president. You know, so maybe you say he's not my president. I didn't vote for him, but he's still the president. And so, but that's the way some people treat God. Well, I know he's God, he's not my God. But I want him to be my God. I want him to be the Lord of my life. Because when he is not the Lord in my life or of my life, then I end up walking in my own ways. Because the steps of a good man, not that he was good first, but he became good by walking in those steps, are ordered by the Lord. Proverbs 14 and 12 said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of those ways are the ways of death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that. But when I'm walking in my ways, it's not going to end well. But he is life. And when I walk in his ways, I'm walking in not only in light, but in life. In Psalm chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." His delight is not simply in the miraculous that can happen, or the healings, or the angels singing, or the spiritual warfare. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The law, what he's going to follow. I'm going to follow the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And because of that, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but they're like chaff which the wind drives away. And therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, it pays to call him Lord, to do that. The law of the Lord, he meditates in that day and night, and he's blessed because he's Lord. Psalm 19 and 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect. I don't want to have to follow every letter. I don't want to have to follow this. Y'all, I don't want this rule book. I just want to go to heaven. Well, that's the problem when you start looking at it as a rule book. But let me tell you, if it had said the rules of the Lord are perfect, then I'd be following the rules. Because if God put them in there, they're right. Every way of God is perfect. One writer said, that I esteem everything you say about anything to be right. Whatever you say about any subject, God, that's what's right. That's where you hear people saying, if God said it, that settles it. Well, that's pretty much what we believe. If God said it, then that settles it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow the law and the word of the Lord because I love him. He's my Lord. He's got the control. And I know that whatever he has put down, whatever he has spoken, I live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So it's for my good. So it's no wonder Paul would write, "Rejoice in the Lord." Not rejoice in the miraculous. Now we're going to rejoice because of the miraculous. We'll rejoice because of healings and deliverances. But he said, "Rejoice in the Lord," because all of it flows from him. And when he is the Lord, he loadeth us daily with benefits. Friend, let me tell you, there's something about serving him and knowing who he is, letting him be the Lord. How can I call him Savior and not call him Lord? In Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, very familiar. At the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Yes. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. That's coming. Every tongue. Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. But I don't want to just have to acknowledge that because I see now at the end that it's true. Here, I want to recognize what he's done. While I live this life and walk in this flesh, I want to say, my Lord and my God, you are the authority in my life. You have control in my life. When did the church begin to preach that you can be saved and control your own life? You can be saved and do what you want to do. And guess what? He's not a dictator. He's not just cracking a whip on us and forcing us into some kind of servitude. We are his servants, no doubt. Man, what a master he is. What a kind and loving God, Master and Savior He is. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. So at the end of time, all will confess and acknowledge Him as Lord. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 22, it says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. I hope I butchered that. Yeah, whoever knows how to say it, just holler it out if you want to. But I'm not good at those reading those things. But you know what that means? It means a curse. It means if you're not going to love the Lord. There's a lot of people who love Jesus the healer, Jesus the miracle worker. What about the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Is He the authority in your life? Is He, honey, you can come to the music if you want to. I'm coming right to an end here. So I don't want to be a curse. In one place in the Old Testament, He said, now I set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. And you'll make a choice as to what you'll do. Choose this way and it'll be death, it'll be a curse. But if you choose this way, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. And man, I want the blessings of the Lord in my life. I don't want my life to be a curse because I can't love Him. Can you stand with me? But I go back to 2 Peter 3 and 18. Let's put that back up there for just a second. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. He didn't say our Savior and Lord, because that could represent two different people sounding like that. But when we say Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Now and forever. The Lord is worthy of that glory now and forever. One day we want to hear Him say, what? Well done. See, a lot of times we just go, I can't wait to hear Him say well done. But the scripture records it as well done, good and faithful servant. It says, enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to call Him Lord. When I see what He's done for me, when I recognize the sacrifice, you know, the Lord told Thomas, He said, Thomas, because you have seen this, now you have believed. But blessed are those that will believe and they have not seen. And so I haven't seen the nails and I haven't seen the wound in His side, the nail prints in His feet or hands, any of that. I haven't seen any of those things, but I believe wholeheartedly that He died on that cross and that He rose from the dead. I believe that He washed my sins away in His blood when I was baptized in His name. And I know that He lives within me because He filled me with the Holy Ghost and I spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I have been born of water and the Spirit. And friend, that has confirmed to me that He is the Lord, because only the Lord can do those things. So I'm not going to forsake my Lord. My Lord and my God. I know what He did in my life, and I'm sure you know what He did in yours. So could we just lift our hands for a moment and worship the Lord? Hallelujah. If it's been a while since you just called Him that, won't you just lift your voice to Him? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God, I stand here because of You today. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.